B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, let's get to Tuesdays with Sal Pal. We look forward to talking to Sal about the NFL because he is the preeminent NFL reporter for ESPN. And he's got a big video piece coming up with, it's called OBJ and Me. Is that Sal? When will we see OBJ and Me?
No, it's Odell Beckham Jr. returns to the Big Bad Apple, baby.
Oh, Odell Beckham Jr. returns to the Big Bad.
I did back-to-back primetime games in Atlanta for Sunday Night Football and then Monday Night Football in the Meadowlands. Don't, Michael, try that at home. Let me tell you, that'll wear you out.
Tough turnaround.
No, yeah. That'll wear you out pretty quick. Yeah. Week two, wears you out, baby.
I got you. All right, we'll talk about the OBJ thing, but I got
we got to go to Sunday Night Football.
Let's go to Sunday Night Football. And the loss, your impressions, especially in the first half on what they were doing, because this is now, it seems to be an epidemic that they can't start fast in the first quarter anymore.
Well, first of all, let's just say it's no time to panic, okay? I'm not ready to push mm-hmm. any kind of panic buttons, and I'm not going to overreact.
Okay.
To the loss. I did say this is how the season would play out, exactly like this, when you and I went through it. Right after Labor Day weekend, mm-hmm. I said they were going to beat Washington and they were going to lose Atlanta. And I said they were going to go 2-2 at the quarter pole. I thought two losses at Atlanta, at Green Bay. So, but there's a lot of buts because there are some concerning things. And the number one thing that keeps cropping up is they're out-coached in the first half. Mike, they're out-coached in the first quarter. They were not ready at all for a lot of things that Atlanta threw at them in the first quarter. And I can't even believe we're saying this. I can't even believe you and I are having this conversation after week two. I'm shocked that I'm even going to utter these words, that Carson Wentz is under siege, that he's getting hit too much, that they're not protecting him properly, that they gave him $100 million and retooled his game and the offense and put all the emphasis on retooling the offense, and they're still not protecting him properly. It's just mind-boggling to me. So I went back to Vincent J. Massey at ESPN Stats and Information. I said, give me the mother load of stats that you have after the film study of just how much Carson Wentz was under siege on Sunday night in Atlanta. He was contacted or hit 12 offensive plays on Sunday night. The only quarterback who was hit on more offensive plays week two was Lamar Jackson of Baltimore, and that's because he's a running quarterback. Carson Wentz was pressured on 24% of his dropbacks, Michael. That's one out of four. It's 25%. It's too much. It's way too much.
All right, how do we explain this? Is this an offensive line problem? Is he holding on to the ball too long? Are the plays not being called right?
Yeah, so let's go through it. You want to try number one?
Yeah, let's try number one.
That's a yes. That is a yes. I went back and looked at it. They couldn't block Grady Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
They could not block Vic Beasley Jr. They could not block on many occasions Tack McKinley. They were not ready for the athletic energy. Now, obviously, the Falcons had a lot to prove. I get all that. You know, this was a back again. You can't go 0-2. You can't lose your home opener on Sunday Night Football. That's all people were talking about when I was around the Falcons all weekend long. We're drawing a line in the sand. So they came out punching, and the Eagles had no counterpunch. So that's one. Two, he was holding on to the ball, not because, you know, he's want to do that in most instances, because he wants to get rid of the ball quickly now. Nobody was open. Alshon wasn't playing. Deshaun Jackson was not playing. Dallas Goedert was not available. He had one wide receiver and one tight end, basically, until you know, Mac Hollins started to get into the flow. Darren Sproles never really got into the flow of the game, I don't think. I think they waited way too long to use him. So, I mean, that's, to me, the issue with the bad start at the beginning of the game. But you see, now they were in a position, still, when they could have won the game. They should have won the game, even though they couldn't protect Carson Wentz, even though Carson Wentz had to be Houdini once again, even though they had major injuries on offense, they still were in a position to win the game on 4th-and-3, just over 2 minutes remaining, when they called that zero blitz on Matt Ryan.
Sal, how should these plays be called? Now, when I looked at the game, it's a shock to lose three guys like that are a significant part of your game plan, especially when you're going to get 12 personnel. You don't have the other tight end. But
you
don't you have
tight
to then...
end, and also, by the way, you can't protect if you don't have the other tight end.
Right. So don't you change the plan?
Well, yes. The answer is one word. For sure. No question. And they simply... From looking at it live and then looking at the tape, I didn't see that they were ready for the absolute activity that they got. You know, the Falcons were all over. They were all over Carson Wentz. Now, the Eagles' blitz numbers are up under Schwartz in the first 2 weeks of this year. Okay. Mm-hmm. They were at 15% last year. Right now, according to Vincent Jay, they're at 22%. Okay, so they're up significantly. The Eagles blitzed 23% of the time against the Falcons, including that zero blitz that they got bombed on with the touchdown pass to Julio Jones with wide receiver screen, which is another whole discussion that we could have. The Falcons only blitzed 9% of the time, and they were all over Carson. So, of course, things should have changed.
Okay,
of course.
So does that mean that this head coach is not adjusting well enough on the fly and Groh is not giving him the proper input or vice versa? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, we got to find out, right? So, again, no time to panic. This is the way I thought the season would go. But there are definite red flags that have to be addressed. And the other thing is, you know, Jim Schwartz was really counting on inside pressure. And now with Malik Jackson and Tim Jernigan both hurt. And I don't know if you saw his comments. Maybe Tyrone can pull his comments from today's press conference. But his comments about Fletcher Cox were very telling. Very telling. There's a bite in there that's really interesting. He was asked about Fletcher Cox coming along. And he basically ended his comments by saying he'll get there. Well, geez,
he's not there. That's problematic because now he's going to get double teamed and he's not at full strength. That's a double problem. So here's what I need to ask you. If they're not getting front four pressure and their cornerbacks seem to be average, they're in trouble. And then the big beacon of light is a guy wants to get traded out of Jacksonville. So should they be all in to try to get Jalen Ramsey here?
Well, they didn't go for Clowney. And they didn't go for Minka Fitzpatrick from Miami. And Fitzpatrick, the Pittsburgh gave up a first round pick for him. So that's what the Dolphins wanted. And I don't think that Howie Roseman and Andy Wydell want to do that. I don't think they want to give up a first round pick. And that clearly the Jacksonville Jaguars are asking for a first round pick plus for Jalen Ramsey. Would I do it?
Yes.
Yes.
You would. Okay.
Would you do it?
Yeah, we've been talking about it. And here,
you would do it, right?
There's no question I would do it. Now,
I would do it, sure. I would do it because, I mean, is he a pain in the tuchus? Yeah, all those guys are. I get it. But you're going to have to pay him, too. So you're going to give him a first-round pick. You're going to have to pay him. That means you own him. I mean, I don't mean own in the own sense, but that means, this is your guy now. This guy, you're married to him. You're totally married to him. And the question is, how does he react to getting paid and being in a position where the team gave up a first round pick? And, he's going to rule the roost. Totally going to rule the roost. Totally. But is he that good of a player? I believe
See, here's the thing about the Eagles and their bargaining position here. The first round pick is going to be a late first round pick. So they're going to have to give up a little more to sweeten the deal. Now, we've been talking about two particular deals. I'll just run them by you. You say yes or no, you do it.
So you're gonna give him a first and sweeten it.
First, third, Sidney Jones, yes or no?
Yes.
First, fourth, Dallas Goedert, yes or no?
Without question, yes.
Oh, okay. All right, there you go.
No, wait, keep going. Let's go.
They're the only two we've been talking about so far.
Okay, I'll go one better than you. I'll try this one on that I've been thinking about. Second, Aguilar and Jones.
Two players and a second. Yeah, now, you think Jacksonville would accept no number one in a deal like that?
How about another one? How about Sudfeld? Sudfeld, second. Goddard or Jones?
I don't know if I'm the Jacksonville, I'd do that for Sudfeld. Yeah, he doesn't help me that much. I already got a guy that I'm paying. All right, so you would do the deal. That's interesting because Tyrone would not give up Goddard. All right. I hear you. Sal, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you.
All right, Mikey.
There he is, Sal Palantonio. Yes and yes from Sal Pal, normally a conservative sort.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.